would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. We'd like to read from Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. Chapter 13 tells us about the spies being chosen to go into the land of Canaan to search out the land. And then chapter 14, the end of chapter 13, tells us about how the children of Israel heard from 10 of the spies. They could not, the report was that they could not go in and inhabit the land that God had given them. Two of the spies said that they could and they must. Then chapter 14 continues that record of what happened with the children of Israel. Before we begin to endeavor to read and study from Numbers chapter 14, I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God. We're thankful that there are not many gods, but one true and living God. And we're thankful that though we don't fully comprehend how great Thou art, we do to some degree. We know something about the greatness of God. You're omnipotent, that you're all-powerful and all-wise, that you know about every problem and you care about every problem. We're thankful for Your love and for Your mercy and for Your grace, that You would bless us together as we've come together this morning, that You would help us to be able to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We're thankful for the singing of songs and for the felt presence of Thy Spirit in singing. And we pray now that as we begin to read and study from Thy Holy Word, that Thou would be our teacher, that Thou would instruct us and help us to learn from Thy Word. We beg Thy blessings upon all those who are sick and afflicted. We pray that You would touch them and heal them and lift them up. We pray especially those who have had surgery and those that are facing surgery, that You would be with them. We ask You to bless all of those who are having tests run and waiting on reports from tests, that You would bless them to get good reports. We thank You for blessing some to be able to get a job, and we pray that You would bless them on that job, and pray that You would bless those that are seeking employment and those that are trying to make decisions for their good and for the good of Thy people. We pray that You would guide each one and give them wisdom and understanding and knowledge and discretion that can come only from Thee. Bless all of Thy people the world over. Bless the unspoken prayer request. You know the burdens and the problems of each person that's here today, and we pray that You would bless each one and all of Thy people the world over. Bless us now as we study Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Numbers chapter 14. The Word of God says, beginning in verse 1, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness." And remember, the reason they were afraid to go into the land of Canaan was because they were afraid that they would die. They were afraid that they would be killed. And yet now they're murmuring and saying, "We wish we had died back there in Egypt, or we wish we had died in the wilderness, but we don't want to obey God and go into the land of Canaan because we might die there." So they're murmuring against Moses and Aaron. And then in verse 5, the Word of God says in chapter 14 and verse 5, "And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation, before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not." Of course, the main message that God keeps telling the children of Israel is to not be afraid, to trust in God. But in the middle of all of this passage, God speaks through Caleb and Joshua. And he says in verse 9, listen carefully to the words that are spoken here in verse 9 to the children of Israel. In the beginning of that verse, he says, "Only rebel not ye against the Lord." Rebel not ye against the Lord. There are times in the Word of God, there are many times in the Word of God, that the Word of God describes occasions where people have rebelled against the Lord. There is a sense in which all sin is rebellion. Every time that we sin, that's a form of rebellion, but the word rebellion usually, in most instances, like in this instance, is not just talking about a sin that a person might gradually or easily commit, but rather the Word of God speaks of rebellion is usually a strong, willful, deliberate determination to disobey. Everybody hear that? Rebellion is a strong, willful, deliberate determination to disobey. So it is that's the way the word rebellion is usually used in the Word of God. It's someone that is very strongly disobeying God, willfully disobeying God. For example, in the New Testament, the Word of God says that the people of God are not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. And yet, he says, comes right on down and says, there are those that sin willfully by forsaking the assembling of themselves. And that is rebellion, is when the people of God are able to be in the house of God, but they rebel against God, and they rebel against being in the house of God. That's open and willful sin. You can study that. Study about that in Hebrews chapter 10, about the seriousness of willful sin or rebellion. Now in rebellion, right here, what they're rebelling against is obeying God by going into the land of Canaan. They're rebelling against that. And Caleb and Joshua are exhorting the people and saying, rebel not ye against the Lord. He's in essence, Caleb and Joshua have rent their clothes and they're almost begging the children of Israel not to be afraid, but to trust in God, to obey God, and to go into the land of Canaan that was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was the land that God had promised to the children of Israel. God had commanded them to go in and possess the land, but they were afraid, and he says, rebel not ye against the Lord. We know that they did rebel. They refused to do what Caleb and Joshua exhorted them to do. They rebelled and they went back because they were afraid, and they did exactly what they said they wanted to do. They said they wished they had perished in the wilderness, and that's what happened. They did perish in the wilderness. And remember that it was rebellion, it was their rebellion that caused them to perish in the wilderness. Go forward in your Bibles, four chapters or six chapters really, to Numbers chapter 20. We read about a man that's a man of God. He's the great high priest. You remember how Moses and Aaron, who were brothers, you remember how Aaron was a mouthpiece for Moses, and Aaron did a lot of good. And yet the Word of God tells us about a particular occasion that even Aaron was guilty of rebellion. And when Aaron was guilty of rebellion, God told Moses that he had to take Aaron up into the mountain and strip Aaron of his garments, of his high priest robe. He was defrocked or removed from being a high priest. And God said, not only are you removed from being a high priest, but you must just die up in that mountain alone. And remember that it was not because of some major sin that we might think of normally, but rather it was the sin of rebellion that caused Aaron to lose his priesthood and to die. Look at Numbers chapter 20, beginning in verse 24. Numbers chapter 20 and beginning in verse 24. The Word of God says, Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because, and here's the reason that God said, He says, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Why was Aaron here not allowed to enter the land of Canaan? It was because he had rebelled against the word of God. And then verse 25, God tells Moses, He says, take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up unto Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there. Now, this does not mean that Aaron died and went to hell because of his rebellion. But it does mean that Aaron lost the fellowship and the position that he had with God and with God's people. He lost that because of the sin of rebellion. Now go with me to, well, can you think of other people? As you think about the Word of God, the Bible is just full of people that the Bible says that because of their rebellion against God, that God, for example, King Saul, and some people don't believe that King Saul was a child of God. I believe that King Saul was a child of God. The Word of God says the Spirit of God was in him. The Word of God talks about an evil spirit coming into him and him doing many things that were ungodly. But King Saul, the Bible says that Samuel had to go to King Saul and tell King Saul, your kingdom is being taken from you. And the specific reason that he gave was because Samuel had rebelled against God. Now remember, the word rebel, as it's normally used in the Scriptures, it means a strong, willful, deliberate determination to disobey. That's what the children of Israel did. They perished in the wilderness. That's what Aaron did, and he died away from the people and was removed from being the high priest. It's what happened to Samuel. The Word of God even says this, and you can go home and study this in the book of Deuteronomy. The Word of God says that God instructed the children of Israel that if children of the children of Israel were rebellious and they could not be corrected by discipline and they continued to rebel against their parents, the Word of God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy that God said that the children were to be killed, they were to be brought to the priest, and they were to be killed because of rebellion. Rebellion is something, I think, that is tolerated today in families. It ought not to be tolerated. I think that many times parents allow their children to be very rebellious and they don't correct the problem. And one of the things that happens when rebellion is allowed to go on is that when children can rebel against their parents, they also will rebel against God. And it's that continuous rebellion that God's Word speaks about as being such a serious matter to the people of God, yes, but to God Himself. God's judgments came upon the children of Israel. The whole nation of Israel suffered because they rebelled against God. When Achan took the Babylonish garment, the children of Israel rebelled against God and did not want to kill or put Achan and his family to death. But listen, brethren, when they continued to suffer because of their rebellion, they finally had to carry out the judgments against Achan and his family. Now go with me to Job just a moment. Job talks about rebellion considerably. There's one particular expression that Job makes about rebellion that I think is very significant about what it is that we're rebelling against. When the children, whether it's children of parents or children of God, when children are rebelling against authority, that rebellion in essence is rebellion against God. when the children of Israel rebelled against Moses, what did God tell Moses? They're not rebelling against you. They're rebelling against me. They were rebelling against Moses, but that wasn't the main point. God says the main point is they're rebelling against me. Look now at Job chapter 24. Look at verse 13. Job chapter 24 and verse 13. Job is speaking here about much rebellion that's going on. And Job says in Job 24 verse 13, the scripture says, they are of those that rebel against the what? The light. Rebel against the light. Now what is the light? What is the light? Okay. The Word of God teaches us certainly that the light can be truth. God's Word is truth. God's Word is called the light, isn't it? In the Psalm 105, or Psalm one of the Psalms, David says in Psalm 119, verse 105, David says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I believe, brethren, that the Word of God is a light. The Scripture speaks of the glorious light of the gospel. And when we rebel against God's Word, we're rebelling against the light. And Job says in Job 24:13, they are of those that rebel against the light. Have you ever wondered why people rebel against the light? Jesus explained it very clearly. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3. I want you to see what Jesus says about those who rebel against the light. And the light can represent the truth of God's Word, or it can represent God Himself, because the Scripture also says not only that the Word of God is light, but that God Himself is light. So there are those that rebel, Job says, there are those that rebel against the light. And here's what Jesus says about that same subject in John chapter 3, starting in verse 19. Jesus says in John chapter 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you know what people will do when they begin to do evil deeds? They will stay away from the light. They'll stay away from God. They'll stay away from the people of God. They will rebel against the light. And that's what Job is speaking about when he says, they are of those that rebel against the light. And Jesus explains why they rebel against the light. It's because their deeds are evil. Look at verse 20 and 21. The Scripture says that Jesus continued to speak and said, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Do you sometimes do evil deeds? When children do evil deeds, do they want their deeds reproved? Do they want to be corrected when they do evil? Certainly not. They don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be reproved. And so it is that God says that there are those that hate the light, and they won't come to the light because they don't want their deeds to be reproved. Verse 21 says, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Go to Psalm 107 just a moment, because in Psalm 107, the Word of God, and this is one of the most beautiful psalms that there is in all of God's Word. In Psalm 107, over and over, David says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. God is good, and God's mercy endureth forever. And we're to give thanks to God for that. We studied earlier in our Bible study this morning that sometimes the people of God are not a thankful people. And we all need to pray that God will help us to be more thankful. And the one thing that this psalmist is concentrating on is he thanked God for the mercy and the grace of God. We need a thankful heart. We need to pray that God will help us all to be more thankful. He comes down in verse 11. He repeats that statement that I just mentioned four times in the book of Psalm 107. in that chapter. And then in verse 11, the scripture says, because God's enumerating reasons that he had to bring his judgment against the people, he says, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labor, they fell down, and there was none to help. When you rebel against God and God brings his judgment, I want everybody to know nobody can help you then. Nobody can help you. Rebellion, the scripture says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 23. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Throughout the scriptures, I know that there are those that don't like any stand against witches. There are those that there were certainly some ungodly things that went on killing of people who were supposedly witches. I know all of that's true, but witchcraft is one of the most horrible things condemned in the Word of God. And the Word of God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, what's the opposite of rebellion? If we're looking at rebellion, we need to look at, well, what is the opposite of rebellion? What would you say this morning if you're looking at rebellion and you're going to look at not being rebellious, what is the opposite of rebellion? What do you think are, what would be some things that you say would be the opposite of rebellion? Obedience? What else? Say it again. Submission? Acceptance? Yes. It's acceptance, it's submission, and it's obedience. It is willful and intentional submission to obedience of what God says. To intentionally, willfully do what God says is the opposite of rebellion. To obey God. Jesus, and throughout the scriptures, people would say, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Some people love to do God's will. Not just when the will of God is easy to do, but even when the will of God is difficult to do. There are some things that God tells us to do in His Word that I find are very easy to do, and there are some things that are very difficult to do. But we need to pray that God will always help us to humbly, submissively do the will of God. And in order to do the will of God, we've got to know what God's will is. You can't do God's will without knowing what God's will is. Jesus knew the will of the Father. And as he was going to the cross of Calvary and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, did he pray for strength and grace as he was about to go to Calvary? And one of the things that he prayed for, he says, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. To be able to say, God, this is what I want. There's someone that I'm praying for right now that is on the verge of a miscarriage. She was having a miscarriage yesterday and was having some major problems. And I checked this morning and she still is with child as far as they were able to determine. I'm telling you, I don't want a child to die. So we're praying, God, please spare the life of that child. Now, as you pray for something like that, do you also need to pray, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done? I pray that God will always help us to always pray. Doesn't matter what it is you're asking for, you still need to pray, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. That's submission. That's the opposite of rebellion. I've seen people, we had a neighbor that lost his wife to cancer, and he was a man that was very godly up until then in many ways, most always. But when his wife died, he rebelled against God. Anger caused him to just be very, very rebellious. And to this day, that was probably 20 years ago, he still is in open rebellion to God, living a very ungodly life. Rebellion will destroy our lives. Rebellion against the light. Remember what Job said in Job 24, is they rebelled against the light. Remember what God says, that Jesus bowed to the will of the Father and said, O Father, not my will, but thine be done. When the angel spoke to, and we'll close here in Luke chapter 1, when the angel spoke to Mary about her bringing forth a child, some of the things that the angel told Mary would have been very difficult for anybody here to go through. Sometimes we think, well, Mary was just a blessed woman. She was a blessed woman. But to go through what she went through to bring forth the birth of Jesus was not an easy experience. When the angel came to her in Luke chapter 1, the angel began to speak to her. In verse 30, the angel said unto her, this is Luke chapter 1 and verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Now all of those good things about what Jesus was going to accomplish, and what Jesus was going to do, those were wonderful things, but Mary still was thinking about she was going to bring forth a son, the first statement that was made. The angel knew that she would be afraid to bring forth this child. Therefore, the angel began everything he said with fear not. And then listen to verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? That word know, I have no intimate relationship with a man. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of the Highest. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now listen to verses 37 and 38. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. I just want you to think about those words that Mary said. That when she was told that she was going to have the Holy Ghost come upon her, and she was going to have a child in her, before she was ever married, that she was going to have a child in her, the fear that she had vanished away when she submitted to the will of the Father. And she said, be it unto me according to thy word. That submissive obedience, to be willing and glad to do whatever God says, is something that I hope that all of us will pray that God will help us to do. God, help me to know your will, and help me to do your will, and help me not to be rebellious, is my prayer for Christ's sake.